November 29, 1937. Our pains, united with the pains of Jesus, form his life within us. There's no good that doesn't come from them. How lack of love martyrs the divine love. My poor mind swims in the sea of the divine volition. I feel that it breathes, palpitates and circulates, more than blood, inside the veins of my soul, saying, I am here, inside and outside of you more than your own life. I run within each one of your acts. With my love I make everything easy for you, and I make you happy. In the meantime, he was showing me all the pains that I suffered, invested by light holding them tightly close to his heart as many conquests of his will. I remained preoccupied, and my always adorable Jesus, visiting me, said, My little daughter of my divine will, know that all the pains that my most holy humanity suffered on earth, every tear I shed, every drop of my blood, every step and motion, and even my breath when still are invested by one single voice, with which they speak and shout continuously, We want the kingdom of the divine will to reign and dominate in the midst of the creatures. We want our divine rights to be placed in force. And they pray, speak and moan around our supreme throne, without ever ceasing, that the will of heaven and of the earth may be one. Now, whoever unites with my sufferings, with my heartbeats, breaths, steps and works prays, speaks and moans together with all I did and suffered on earth. There's no good that does not arise from my sufferings. United with those of the creature, my sufferings form the depository of the hosts that receive her pains, forming one single prayer together, one single voice, one single will. Even more, my pains carry the pains of the creature and everything she does before our majesty, in order to make her one and do what I did. The pains of the creature kidnap my pains on earth in order to involve all the creatures in both my pains and her own, to dispose all the creatures to receive the life of my divine will. The union with me of her pains with my pains produces the great prodigy of my life in the creature, a life that operates, speaks and suffers as if I were on earth again. So, I animate the whole being of the creature with the power of my acts. My life flows even in the most tiny trifles, so that all may be mine, animated by my creative power, and she may give me the love and the glory of my own life. Do you think that my will did not take into account all that you've suffered? Not at all. My will preserves within its womb of light all your sufferings, big and small, your distressed and sorrowful sighs, your privations. It even used them as material to be able to conceive, deliver and grow its life. It could grow through each one of your pains, that were being fed by its sanctity, filled with the ardor of its love, and embellished with its unreachable beauty. My daughter, how much you must thank me for all that I have disposed for you, and for all that I made you suffer. Everything served to form my life in you, as well as the triumph of my will. What a fortune for the creature, seeing that her pains served my life, so holy, which will have, as fulfillment, my divine will palpitating within her. Do you think it's trivial that the Creator shows his need for the creature? He, who is omnipotent and gives life to all? Isn't this the greatest excess of our love? Jesus remained silent. I remained thinking about what he had just told me, and I saw all my pains lined up within me, spreading rays of light, being transformed into the pains of Jesus, forming the divine support and the defense for the creature asking, with continuous voices and moans, that the divine will may come to reign. Then, Jesus continued, My good daughter, our love is such that, everywhere and in every place, even in the most tiny blade of grass, in the air that the creature breathes, in the water she drinks, even underneath her steps, as she treads the ground, we send our voices, our spasming cries of love, I love you, I love you, I love you. But our love can't find peace, feeling that it's not listened to by the creature, and not hearing her repeating, I love you, I love you. And in our delirium of love we say, Oh! Is anybody listening to us? Oh! Nobody is saying to us, I love you, I love you. Why then say I love you, I love you, if nobody returns it to us? To whom do we say I love you? To the air, to the wind, to the empty space. Our I love you doesn't know where to go, where to lean if it doesn't find the I love you of the creature to receive it and return it with her own, so that her love may find refuge inside our immense love, leaning on it, and growing more and more. When the creature listens to our I love you and returns it, in our emphasis of love as if reconciled by her love, we say, finally, we've been heard. Our love found one to go to, a place for refuge. We have been recognized. We found one who says, I love you. Then our love makes a feast. But when we cannot find one who says, I love you, we don't find one who recognizes us, who listens to us, one who loves us. How hard it is to love, not being loved. How I wish that everybody knew that with my love I sustain them, I hug them, I love them and I make them breathe. I love them and I give them a heartbeat. I love them and I give them speech. I love them and I give them the step. I love them and I give them motion, thinking, food, water. All that they earn and receive is the effect of my flowing love. So, isn't not loving me a horrible ingratitude? It is making our love a martyr because we loved, and we are not loved. After this, I was thinking to myself, but how can the creature know when our Lord tells her his repeated and continuous I love you, so that she may return them with her own? And my sweet Jesus added, it is indeed very easy to know it, if the creature possesses the divine will as her own life. The divine will gives her its divine hearing, that makes her listen when her Creator tells her, I love you. And it gives not only the divine sense of hearing, but also its divine word, so that as the hearing listens, the word says, I love you. Or better still, even before it says to her, I love you, she already feels she is about to receive the I love you of her God. So, she makes her I love you meet the divine I love you, almost so as to engage in a contest with her Creator. My will wants to give everything to the creature who lives in it. It gives her its arms to hug her, its steps to run after her. As we feel our divine nature, which is all love, and our need to love to the extent that, if it were possible to prevent us from loving, we would suffocate, losing the breath of our divine life. Since our breathing, motion and our very will are love for us, and it is impossible for us not to love in the same way, one who possesses our will feels the need to love us to always love us. Therefore, only my will can put order between the Creator and the creature, keeping her constantly aware of our love and sanctity, putting her in communication with our Supreme Being. Fiat.